I'm Al Jazeera Digital's Duarte Geraldino. This is The Takeaway. For the first time in history, two Jewish American candidates are serious contenders for the U.S. presidential nomination. Heading into Super Tuesday, Bernie Sanders is a front runner, and Michael Bloomberg is still in the race. There's a real possibility that we could see the first Jewish American president of the United States. But Jewish voters don't necessarily appear to be rallying behind Sanders, or for that matter, Bloomberg. In fact, in a recent Pew survey, Jewish voters preferred Biden, Warren, and Buttigieg by a wide margin. Now, Buttigieg has, of course, suspended his campaign. And Sanders, along with Bloomberg, may be alienating some Jewish voters because of their stance on Israel. The American-Israel Public Affairs Committee, or AIPAC, is currently holding its annual conference in D.C. More than 18,000 people are expected to attend. Now, to be clear, AIPAC is a pro-Israel advocacy group. Sanders is boycotting the gathering, claiming AIPAC allowed leaders to, quote, express bigotry and oppose basic Palestinian rights. Bloomberg, on the other hand, gave a speech at the conference today. The decision both candidates made about AIPAC is sending a very clear message to voters. Now, here to unpack this, we have two guests. Molly Boygon is here to talk with us about the Jewish American vote. She's an investigative reporter for The Forward. Molly, welcome.
Thank you.
Also here with us is Hasia Diner. She's a professor of American Jewish history at NYU. Hasia, thanks for joining us.
It's a real honor and pleasure to be here with you.
So up until now, what was the closest that a Jewish American candidate has come to becoming the U.S. president?
We can think of it in two contexts. So first, clearly, Joseph Lieberman, who was running for president with Al Gore, stood in line, that is, as vice president. He technically could have become president had something befallen the president-elect, Al Gore. And in a way, it's pretty amazing given that that election hung by a chad, as it were. And that without all sorts of interference, it's actually the case that the Gore-Lieberman ticket really won. So that had the ballot counting in Florida gone differently, or had the Supreme Court weighed in differently, the Gore-Lieberman ticket would have Gore-Lieberman would have won, and one never knows what could have happened. So Lieberman was really close in that he was there as the vice presidential candidate. The other moment in time where there was somebody of Jewish derivation who was running for president, and I say derivation, was Barry Goldwater in 1964.
Yes.
Goldwater was not a Jew in as much as he was Episcopalian with a visibly Jewish name and with a clear Jewish ancestry one generation back. But those are the only two we could cite.
The only two. So in the past, have identity politics played a role when Jewish candidates run?
Well, Jews have been running for office in the United States on local and state level since the middle of the 19th century. They often ran and won in places where there were very few Jewish voters, and they presented themselves as good, solid citizens who represented some swath of the community will. Their Jewishness was there. They didn't deny it, nor were these people who were one time or another deeply involved in their local Jewish communities, but they didn't run as Jews. Okay, where there were Jewish voters, they didn't necessarily vote for the Jewish candidate. Jewish voters, again, from data we have going back to, again, the late 19th century, voted on the basis of issues and not on, was this candidate a Jew running against, running for office. There have been individuals way back, more than a century ago, who articulated some level of concern about Jews occupying too visible a role in, shall we say, city affairs, running for mayor. Because if policy went wrong or if matters got out of hand, that individual, their actions, would be
would reflect on the Jewish community.
Yeah, and that Jews as a whole would be blamed for unpopular decisions.
So, Molly, let's bring you into this conversation. Recent polls are showing much stronger Jewish American support for Biden and Warren. Now, you've been talking to Jewish voters. What are they saying about Bernie Sanders? How is he being perceived in the Jewish communities that you've visited?
I hear a few different reasons why Jewish voters are not lining up to support Bernie, and one of them is that anxiety that Hasia was talking about, a fear of a Jewish backlash if he does get elected, or that his Judaism would be a deterrent come time to run against Trump in the general election. I also hear that he hasn't publicly identified as Jewish in the way that a lot of Jews would want. So he has talked a lot about his immigrant background, about being a child living in poverty, but not so much about that strong Jewish connection. And I think that rankles some people. His stance on Israel is also an important part of why a lot of Jews aren't supporting Bernie. They see him as associating with more polarizing figures in the community, like Linda Sarsour and Ilhan Omar. And then lastly, I think I hear older Jews in particular express discomfort with his association with socialism. Like one Jew in the Orthodox community that I was talking to said that his father called Sanders Bolshevik Bernie.
Wow.
So even though you do hear that hesitation from some communities, unsurprisingly, he's also popular with younger Jews, with more liberal Jews. And, you know, Jews tend to vote Democratic, and polls indicate that Jews in this election will vote for the Democratic candidate over Trump in much higher numbers. So we'll see what happens if he gets the nomination.
So if I heard you correctly, you seem to be saying that to some voters, he is not presenting as Jewish enough. What would be Jewish enough?
Well, he hasn't I think Bloomberg offers an interesting contrast. Bloomberg going to AIPAC, Bloomberg going to synagogues and presenting himself as a candidate. Bernie's public identification with Judaism has mostly had to do with anti-Semitism and his stances on immigration. Like, he released a couple of videos this campaign cycle about how he believes that Trump is a white nationalist, and Trump's platform emboldens white nationalists in this country. And like I said, he has talked about his immigrant background, you know, as a way to identify with voters more than about being Jewish. You know, he, for example, a lot of people don't know that he spoke Yiddish at home as a child. Like, these are just experiences that he doesn't really talk about.
And what about his decision regarding AIPAC? How is that sitting?
I think it was hugely controversial. Obviously, there's, you know, all different sides of this issue, but I would say the loudest Jewish voices in the room were ones that were condemning that decision, because AIPAC is statedly in a bipartisan forum for conversation about Israel and U.S.-Israel relations, and typically support for Israel has been a bipartisan issue, not so much in more recent history. But I think that people— Jews who view AIPAC as an important gathering for the Jewish community also saw it as a missed opportunity for Sanders to express some of his concerns about Palestinian rights and treatment of Palestinians by the Israeli government.
Has there been historically some issues that have been most important to Jewish voters?
I think if we look again in the long run, Jewish voters have tended to, in terms of the big picture issues, favor candidates who pressed for the creation of and the strengthening of a society in which people are not handicapped at all by race, religion, national origin. That is, a society in which the invidious distinctions, which were baked into American law and baked into the American character, where that was, they're looking for the candidates who wanted to essentially unbake it. Okay. Secondly, Jews have historically been very strong supporters of separation of church and state, of those kinds of policies and the candidates behind them who essentially said, no, this is not a Christian nation. This is a nation of all of its citizens, and all religions or no religion need to be respected.
So, on that note, we look at Sanders' decision, very controversial among some Jewish American voters. Has a candidate that shares Sanders' view on Israel ever won the Jewish American vote?
There has never been a candidate who was anything other than in their public persona and their public statements, anything than 100% supportive of the state of Israel.
So, Molly, what are Bloomberg and Sanders doing to try to appeal to the Jewish American vote, if anything?
I think that Sanders is using his disagreements with Trump and the perception that Trump is emboldening white nationalists to appeal to the Jewish vote now, but that's a very recent change. I think, you know, in the 2016 election, for example, he really didn't talk about being Jewish hardly at all, and now it's used as a way to connect with Jewish voters over anti-Semitism. And Bloomberg is appealing to Jewish voters in a much more traditional way by being crystal clear on his support for Israel and attending AIPAC, and by visiting synagogues and trying to reach voters that way.
It's such a complex catwalk because, on the one hand, obviously they want Jewish American votes, but the majority of U.S. voters are not Jewish. In so doing, what's that friction that they are dealing with?
Yeah, I think that question is especially relevant for Bernie Sanders because in some ways he presents as so Jewish. The way that he talks and the way that he looks, his accent is so emblematic of the sort of Brooklyn leftist Jew of a particular moment, and that negatively impacts him in the way that people express anxiety about electing somebody who's that visibly Jewish and the possible backlash. But then again, his not talking in specific terms about his Jewish background and his Jewish identity, and he's not traditionally observant, he's married to a non-Jew, his stance is on Israel. In some ways, he's damned if he does and damned if he doesn't.
Hasia Diner is a professor of American Jewish history at New York University, and Molly Boygan is an investigative reporter for The Forward. Thank you both for being here.